Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Hear these words. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me." Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now, for this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, he immediately came out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning that has filled us with hope and peace, and let it guide us closer to you and to our journey in faith as we draw closer in love and knowledge, and we live that out each and every day. Amen. When I was in high school, we had an awesome opportunity in the hometown that I was in for a while in Vinton. It is actually known for the Iowa Braille School, which used to be there. And it's the same school, if you've read any of like the Laura Ingalls books, Mary Ingalls went there and attended this school. That's located in Vinton, where I grew up for a while. And a part of their program, the students that attended the school, when they reached a certain point where they wanted to acclimate them back into just doing everything else normal in their lives, they would send them to the public school to take classes with us so that they can kind of learn more of their independence again. And I really loved this rich opportunity because I never felt like there was a lot of bullying or anything like that. I felt like the community had just accepted that they were a part of our community. It was a normal day to see people in the community walking around, of course, with the canes and the sticks to be able to walk across the streets. It was just, had been there so long in its history that the community said, you know, these are just our people like anybody else. And I never felt there was a separation or anything like that. And I loved the uniqueness of it. And I had many friends over the years that would be in and out of classes that I took with them. And in fact, I even remember in marching band, we had a student from there one time. And since marching band, you know, is a little difficult, especially I'm sure when you can't see, but the way the instructor did it was just a beautiful example of grace. And they were a percussionist. So of course they could be on the front part of the sideline of the field and play still while everybody was still marching, and they were a part of the band, they were just as important, and it was beautiful. And I also remember in elementary school, in a different school district, since I moved a lot growing up, one of my best friends came from, she was a mixed race, her mom, mother was white and her father was black, but as I was friends with her, I never remember thinking anything of it. Like, I don't remember saying, oh, she's a different skin color or anything like that. She was just my best friend. We hung out all the time. I'd go to her house because her father was hilarious. He was great, fun to hang out with. But as I looked at photos of it years later now, after I've gone through school and college, I look back at these photos and I'm almost surprised, like, oh, she does have a little bit of a different color. But at the time, you know, she was just my friend. I didn't notice anything like that. And I start off with these two stories because they remind us of what it means to be a child of God, right? That there is no separation between any of us. That humans, in fact, are the ones who over the years have categorized one another. We said, oh, we want to put this group together because maybe they look the same or they act the same, or we're so obsessed with trying to categorize and put separations in it when it wasn't originally part of God's plan. That God's creation and world was to rejoice in the differences, to celebrate those differences and be filled with grace of the opportunity to learn and grow from one another. And I think this example here in this passage, it might seem like a strange example for the baptism of Jesus, but a lot is going on in this passage we don't often think about. And one of them, the main part of this is that when God opens up the heavens and the Spirit descends down upon Jesus, he says, you know, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I find great joy in. He's claiming Jesus as his Son, but it is the same words that are claimed for each of us as beloved children of God. That there is no a distinction even in it between all of us, that we are together welcomed as this children of God. And it's that beautiful moment, because here we have Jesus, who we already knew was the Son of God, who is God himself, and he's going to be baptized. Theologians have been puzzled with this passage for a long time, because in our minds we think, right, baptism in some ways over the years has represented a forgiveness of sin, of being renewed and refreshed in the waters of baptism. But Jesus, being the Son of God, did not sin. So why was it even necessary that Jesus would be baptized? It seems unnecessary and not something in which we would think about for the Son of God, one who knew no sin. And yet, John says it very much the same response that we would think as well. When Jesus goes to him to be baptized, he's like, are you kidding me? Like, you're the Son of God. This is my paraphrased version of that. Like, why would you ask me to baptize you? And there's a sense of shock and awe. Like, he knew that this was the Lord, and Jesus was coming to him. He didn't have any sin, and he comes to John to be baptized. I love those words, because so much we can relate to them and be the way John was feeling. When God calls us to do things, sometimes it's like, are you kidding me, God? Why would you ask me to do that? Isn't that your job or your responsibility? It's kind of a humorous, I think it's funny, maybe you won't, but as a pastor, right, I have this thought all the time, especially as an introvert. And really, you almost need to be an extrovert for this type of job. And I know people think I'm an extrovert because I've learned how to do that, but naturally I'm an introvert. But as I think about it, a lot of times I'm like, God, you created me. You knew I was an introvert. You placed me in this position. What are you thinking? Right? Like, what are you thinking? And I feel like that's the response of John. Like, seriously, Jesus? You're coming to me? What are you thinking? But the beauty in this passage is that Jesus approaches John, and he asked to be baptized because of his role here as the Son of God, but it's his role as well as becoming human, as coming down as a human to feel and to be experienced a part of humanity. And it was necessary then to experience all of that, meaning even baptism, even being baptized by John was a part of Jesus' role in living fully into the body of humanity so that we truly could be saved by grace. But not only that, he says a very important thing to John. He says, right now, it is necessary that I be baptized by you. That is the plan. That is what is to happen. A reminder that God as well tells us the same thing. Right now, maybe you don't understand what God is telling you to do, but it is necessary that you do the ministry God has called, even if it doesn't make sense. So John was called to baptize Jesus. That was his role. His ministry was to call people to repentance, to call them to a moment of baptism, and to prepare the way for Jesus. So even though the Son of God comes to him having no sin, John's role is to continue in the ministry and to be encouraged by the Son of God to continue doing what God has called him to. And oftentimes we as well need that encouragement. We need to be reminded, just like Jesus reminds John, be reminded by God that not only are we claimed and we are loved, but God has placed us where we are at for a reason. And in placing us there, maybe we don't understand it, but we are encouraged to know we are to live that out fully each and every day, to live into that claim. Baptism in the church is very important, but it's also one of those things in which, unless a baptism takes place, unless it's like the baptism of Christ, which is this comes across every year, this time on the calendar, we don't often talk about the meaning behind it. And the beauty in baptism is, yes, it represents a repentance and a forgiveness of sins, but it also is that moment of being claimed as God's child. And not only just being claimed as God's child, but living that out in our lives each day. And of course, in the United Methodist Church, we do infant baptisms. And sometimes there's a lot of, it's a disagreement among churches and denominations of when you should baptize, whether you can profess faith or not. But the reason we do infants is because we believe in prevenient grace, meaning that God is already at work in the lives of all of creation and all of people because Jesus has already died on the cross and resurrected. So even before we acknowledge that grace, God is working in our lives. And so we believe in an infant, we're not baptizing them because we think that a baby is going to go to hell. I know that's been a tradition like in the Catholic Church over the years. We baptize an infant because we say this is a child of God, claimed and loved, and God's grace is the one working and already on the life of the child. And then the parents and the church are saying, yes, we love this child as much as God loves this child, and we are going to help this child to grow and to be raised in the church so that when they reach the age in which they themselves can claim that title, they will go through confirmation and maybe then say, yes, I truly want to live into the life of a Christian and be forgiven by Jesus Christ. And it's this beautiful moment and reminder of being claimed by God, that all of us, as children of God, not only are we claimed and loved by God, but then we are given ministry, we're given gifts, we're given opportunities to live that out each day. So all of us should be living as baptized people, meaning that you know you're a child of God, you're beloved and cared for, and then you live that out in your life. It's not meant to be a stagnant one action thing, but it's supposed to be lived out each day where you're growing in salvation, you're growing closer to God, and you're trusting in God's grace and love for your life. And that's what happens in this beautiful passage here, a moment of grace being poured out in which Jesus is saying to John, look, yes, you need to baptize me because that is your call right now. And that is what needs to happen. And so baptize me so that I can, one, he encourages John to continue in the ministry God has called him to, and two, because Jesus is trying to fully be human and live and experience all that we have struggled with, which makes the story even more wonderful for us, this understanding of grace, when we know that Jesus truly, who is God, came to live every part of humanity, the struggles, the pain, and even the act of baptism. So we connect to that today as we are reminded of that. In a little while, here after the sermon, I was kind of talking to Owen a little bit about this, but you all will also receive a shell. And one of the beautiful parts of this is oftentimes when we pass an offering plate, right, you're putting money in, and we still will have an offering because we need to give continually to God's ministry. But at this time, it's an opportunity in which you receive something from God. And on these shells, there is a word. There's a different word on every single shell. I typed up the words. I had a list of like 150, so I don't know what word you're going to get or what, but I know that every single one of these words, it is something that can help you to grow in your faith. They might seem a little challenging and hard. It might be surprising, but the goal is for you to reach in and to grab a word, to not look at all of them. You're not supposed to trade with one another because that word is a gift from God in which God is saying, look, this year, I want you to focus on this thing. Maybe you never thought you needed to focus on that. Maybe your word, you're like, wow, I didn't even know that was an issue, or how do I live that out? If you have questions, you're more than welcome to ask me, because every single one of these words are words that every Christian, every person can, at some point in their life, can work on. Whether it's growing spiritually, or maybe it's just a word of encouragement. God is saying, I want you to remember this word. So after we pray, we're going to take a time in which we'll pass this around for you to have that. And I do encourage you to put the word somewhere where like you see it every single day, and to work on it this year, to work on the word and to live into being claimed as a child of God, trusting that God is with you and growing in that faith so that we don't become stagnant, that we continue to grow and live out our baptisms in the world. So let us pray. God, we pray that you might pour out your Spirit upon us, that you might encourage us through your word that you have for us today, your words that give us life and give us meaning, and help us to grow in that, to grow in our baptismal claim that we are your beloved children, to live that out in the world, to not become stagnant in our beliefs, but to trust that you are with us, that you have redeemed us, that you have shown us grace. Help us to truly know that and live that in our hearts, and then to be encouraged and strengthened by you that we are doing the work you have called us to. We ask this in your holy and gracious name, Lord. Amen.